I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. One of my favorite guests in the life of this program, Christopher Gaze, joins me again. It's been a while, but it's a good time to check in with the artistic director of Bard on the Beach, the annual Shakespeare Festival in Vancouver that keeps growing and that it's and that celebrates its 25th year in the city. At Vanier Park from the 12th of June through to the 18th of September will be A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is directed by Dean Paul Gibson, who, when he was on a few weeks ago, talked about The Tempest, directed by Meg Rowan Cymbeline, and the Bill Kane play Equivocation. I'll ask Mr. Gaze about what to expect from Bard as well. We'll reflect on the past 25 years and into the future. This year would have been William Shakespeare's 450th birthday as well, so it's a good time to look back at his canon and its endurance. The work that Mr. Gaze and many others do in the life of the city, cultural and otherwise, adds so much to Vancouver. For his work, he's been honored with the Order of British Columbia and countless other awards and honorary doctorates. Visit bardonthebeach.org for tickets and information. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Christopher Gaze. Mr. Gaze, good morning.
Hello, Joseph. Nice to talk to you.
It's nice to talk to you again. So as much as I've loved having you on, I've been remiss because I just looked it up, and it's been 8 years since you were last on.
Good Lord.
But it's always fun to talk to you because it's we learn a great deal about the work that you all do at Bard on the Beach, and then this is a good time too because it's the 25th year. Did you imagine, say, 25, 26 years ago that you'd have what you have today?
Did I imagine it? I've thought about that in recent times. I just believed it was all possible, Joe. I believed that Bard could be successful. But as to how it's grown and it's the might of Bard and the size of our company, somebody told me we're the 11th biggest theater company in Canada the other day. So it's pretty phenomenal rise over 25 years to be in that position. I just thought we could do it, and by God, we've done it. And more than anything, I think I'm just proud that it's so good. It's just so good.
Yeah, and that's what the critics say. That's what the audiences say, not just in this city, but around the world that come through. And from what I understand, every year it seems to be growing. Is that that's true, isn't it?
It is true. You have to adjust from a business perspective as the years go by when this happens and that happens. And so we, from time to time, have shrunk it and grown it and this. But the sort of density and the infrastructure of Bard, it keeps growing. And I mean density really in terms of programming. There's just so much more on. We build this extraordinary site, which costs a great deal of money, and these days we recognize that because of the asset that it is so expensive to put up, take down, to store, to clean, and so forth, you need to fill it a bit, just as much as you possibly can, as many hours of the day. It's like an aeroplane. It's only making money when it's in the air. So Bard on the Beach, in order to pay our bills and prosper, we need to use our stages and our site as much as we can. And, of course, that's exactly what we do.
Yeah, and you'll be using the site this year with four shows, as well as other ancillary things. But the two big ones, I guess, are A Midsummer Night's Dream and The Tempest. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. They're in the big BMO on the main stage there. Big BMO main stage at Bard, and Midsummer Night's Dream and The Tempest are glorious celebrations of Shakespeare. And we began with Dream, Joseph, 25 years ago, and it's a sort of play that we try not to do too often because it's such a valuable play in terms of popularity. People love Midsummer Night's Dream. It's the most popular Shakespeare play in viewership. And so we've held it back since, I think, 2006 was the last time we'd done it, 8 years ago. And here it is on our 25th, to mirror what we did in 1919 with Midsummer Night's Dream. And with that, and that's Dean Paul Gibson's directing that, and it's a refreshed, reimagined, if you like, production of Dream that he put on for us in 2006. And so there's some different actors in it, not all of them, but some different actors and different ideas. But by the same token, it was a blockbuster then, and it'll be, I suspect, even more so now, as we're a much, we're an organization now that can really, we have a brand new theater, for instance, you know, and sound is no longer a challenge in there, and everyone has a microphone, which is kind of fantastic these days. And with that, we're going to do The Tempest, and that's Meg Rowe's production of Tempest, which she did in the Little Theater, in the Douglas Campbell Theater in 2008. And because of the celebration of this year, Shakespeare's 450th birthday, Bard 25, we decided to bring back Meg's production. Again, reimagined. It needs to be made bigger because it's going to be in a theater almost three times the size of where it was last time. And so it should be glorious, I think.
Yeah, and what's it like to work with Dean Paul Gibson and Meg Rowe? Because, I mean, they're two highly thought of performers, directors in this city and throughout the country. What's it like to work with them as you do year in and year out?
I can think of no greater pleasure. And for someone, the responsibilities that I have, to know that either Meg Rowe or Dean is directing for us and looking after the rehearsal room, as it were, and all the actors and the production, while I'm out doing all the different things I'm involved in, raising money and looking at the following season and all the different things that I have to pay attention to. This is, it's just manna from heaven. These are glorious directors. They are the future for Bar of the Beach, for Vancouver, and across the country in Canada. These two work everywhere and are highly treasured. And of course, they love Bard and are highly connected to us. So for me, for our company, for our board, and for the community, I just can't say enough about them. Wonderful.
And they're fun, too. I've had both of them on over the years, and they just seem like fun people.
Just marvelous people, and that's what makes it special for me. I have tremendous fun with them, and as we get together and conceive these productions and try and push them along and find the money to do them and get the right actors and the designers and the ideas, and it's just one of the great pleasures of my life to work with them. I can't say that enough. I'm deeply grateful for their presence, and I know everyone else is too.
Now, Cymbeline, that's not a show that I'm familiar with. Is it one of his lesser Shakespeare's lesser known works?
Yes, it is a lesser known. It's a later work by Shakespeare, but it's you know, he was extraordinary the way take a play, a story, and he would in a sort of very unconventional way of most playwrights, you find in Cymbeline adventure, drama, comedy, potential tragedy. You know, it's the most extraordinary piece, and at the same time, it's a sort of fairy tale, and so it's another of his sort of quiet masterworks that people always enjoy Cymbeline. And in the hands of Anita Rochon, who has not directed for us before, I think we're going to... There's only seven people in it. The six actors that are in equivocation are in it, and joined by Benjamin Elliott, who will supply music and become another character in Cymbeline. So it'll be endlessly theatrical, and should work like a charm.
Now, Equivocation is not a Shakespeare play, but it's set in, I guess, his era. Is that right?
It is. And it reflects the gunpowder plot, which came about in the early 1600s with, in the time of James I, that it succeeded Elizabeth I. So James I is on the throne, and Guy Fawkes tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament, and fortunately failed. So this play is about Shakespeare and his company, six actors playing multiple parts, very exciting. Just finished at the Belfry Theatre, and it'll play all summer at Bard now with Cymbeline in the Douglas Campbell Theatre. And it's just, it's, you know, Shakespeare's our man, so all the Bard patrons will be able to see Shakespeare on stage, and Bob Fraser's playing him, so the great Bob Fraser, wonderful actor. And of course, the story goes that Prime Minister Cecil is appointed by James I to come and talk to Shakespeare and get him to try and write a play about the gunpowder plot. James has already started it, but has sort of failed, and says to Shakespeare, you get Shakespeare to fix it, he says to Cecil, and Shakespeare cannot fix it. So he ends up writing his own play about a Scottish king, which you and I know to be Macbeth.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that when there's something on television like a Downton Abbey or a Game of Thrones, that it draws, say, new audiences to Bard?
I suspect Downton Abbey. Everyone's telling me I need to see the Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to see that?
I haven't watched it myself, but it's immensely popular amongst young people, especially.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll have a go at it and see how we get on. But Downton Abbey, of course, it throws people back into a different era, and that's a good thing for the great classic stories, the like of which we tell. Does it help us? I think it helps, curiously, when Shakespeare's plays go to film. I think it's always good for Shakespeare revival to put his name out there. And, you know, we put his name out there, but we're a theatre company in Vancouver, British Columbia. When a film comes out, if it's marketed properly, it comes out all over the world. And so that's good for Shakespeare, and it's good for us.
Now, you're someone who lives your life around Shakespeare, reads him a great deal. Do you find year after year, I mean, you're going back and reading plays that you've read before, obviously, that you've produced even before. Do you find that year after year you're still learning more about him and more about the work?
No question about it. These plays are so rich and deep, mysterious pools of wisdom and beauty and fun. And so when you go back to Lear, when you go back to Midsummer Night's Dream, when you go back to The Tempest, you think because you've been in it, because you played whatever part in it, that you know it. Well, you don't know it. The nuances in the lines and the thoughts and ideas are rich, and you never get all these things first time round, second time round, third round. And when you love it, it's wonderful to go back to old stories. Children, you can tell the same story to again and again and again. And when you get with old friends, do you not? And you tell it again and again and again over many years. It's heartwarming, the familiarity with it. And the characters become friends. And I've played Nick Bottom in Midsummer Night's Dream several times in my life as an actor. And to see Scott Bellis recreated, something totally different from what I would ever do or other actors that I've seen would ever do, is just bloody brilliant. People are going to be absolutely wowed by our Midsummer Night's Dream and The Tempest, in particular this year. I know Cymbeline and Equivocation will be wonderful as well. Mm-hmm. But these big shows on our main stage are... I can only say to people now, and this is salesmanship aside, if you're thinking of coming to Barnum the Beach this year, get your tickets, because July, June, July, August will come, and we'll be selling out.
Yeah.
And you'll be saying, oh, I've got to get tickets, got to get tickets, and they'll all be sold out. So plan ahead.
Indeed.
Bring girlfriends, boyfriends, bring your children, and give them a great treat.
Yeah. Where do you see Bart on the Beach 25 years hence?
I think we'll be playing year-round then, Joseph.
Really?
And maybe a great deal sooner than that. Definitely within the next couple of years, we'll be producing a winter show, especially at our new production center, 162 West First, mm-hmm. in the Olympic Village, which we're going with all the fundraising's beginning now. But it will be done, and we'll be in there hopefully in August next year, 2015. And so that gives us a production facility, rehearsal rooms, costume storage, costume making, offices, and the theater, which will be owned and operated by the Arts Club. We'll share all this with the Arts Club. They'll operate the theater, but we've got a spot in there in March, April. And if it goes well for us and we like programming in the winter, we'll expand that. And either rent there or other spots in the city and start programming year-round. That'll be one thing. Sorry, go ahead.
What else are you... I mean, you obviously see this thing growing beyond, you know, the summer. You're seeing winter now, and then you say year-round. What else have you... I mean, you seem like a very busy guy.
I'm a very busy guy.
Yeah.
So, production center, winter programming, we already have the summer. Education, we're re-looking at education and just looking at all manner of ideas for engagement, both in the city and in the province of British Columbia, Western Canada, as to how we can have an impact, a positive impact, educationally, on young people's lives, and how we get out. And I'm just not talking about our big main stage, our big bard companies on site in Bennier Park, but another company that somehow gets about. Already we're in well over 200 classrooms every year with a teaching artist, but we want to expand that and get productions into theatres across the province, or schools anyway, classrooms, and allow young people to see the fun, the excitement, the beauty, magic of Shakespeare. So that's from an educational point of view. It's just going to go on and get richer. It's just waiting there to be done, and we must do it, and we will.
Now, Christopher, you'll indulge me for a moment. I want to ask you about Arthur Hughes, our friend Arthur mm-hmm. Hughes, who you knew very well, who appeared on this program. He was a friend of mine for many years. You spoke so beautifully at his memorial service after he passed away. He was a big fan of Bart, wasn't he?
He was. Most extraordinary man, Arthur Hughes. I, like many others, had enormous affection for him, and he did for us. He used to write me beautiful letters about Bart on the Beach and kind things about what he felt that I had done. And, you know, totally uncalled for. He just did it because he was a kind man, and he had a great passion for Shakespeare, huge interest in it, and was a supporter of ours from year one, sending in a membership donation, buying tickets to all the shows, coming multiple times, sitting in the front row always having a script on his lap. He followed with a script, which is somewhat aggravating, I might add. And it was always a great humor to the actors back in the dressing room when we, in a particular production, and had cut the Shakespeare's text down a fair bit or changed things around, to see Arthur scrabbling around in the script, trying to find out where the hell we were. Anyway, he was a dear heart. He had multiple interests. He had friends in every portion of this city, in every, you know, so many diversified things. He was a dear, good man. Live well.
Yeah, he always used to talk about how much he admired you and how much he loved going to Bart on the Beach. He was always excited at the next thing, you know.
Yeah. I told you, I think, at the when I went to see him just before he died, that Joseph to me was the most heartwarming thing I remember for the rest of my life about him, as I went into his room and a doctor came in with me. I think I was just standing there looking at him and he was sleeping, and a doctor popped in and would talk to me. He recognized me and talked to me about Bard. And then as I was talking and telling him about the season coming up, Arthur must have had some awareness of my voice. Anyway, he started to come too, because the doctor was saying, "You're just going to go now, you know, in the next short while." And but he said, "Oh, look, he's, you know," he was moving the bed. And anyway, the doctor left and I moved round. And so that Arthur could see me, but he couldn't really see me. I don't know what he could see, but maybe he did. But I was absolutely sure that I said, "Arthur, it's Christopher. I've come to see you." And he made such a warm sound, couldn't speak anymore, such a warm sound of welcome in his voice. I knew that he knew I was there. And then I recited, "Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day?" And then I couldn't speak, and he just quietly went to sleep again, and I left him. And then he was gone the next day. So I was very honored to spend a few seconds in his last moments of his life with him.
Yeah, he's someone that I knew him from. I'd worked with him a few years before, and then I'd keep in touch, you know, a few times a year. But he's someone that I miss, certainly. And after his death, one learned that a lot of people, as you said, have already said, a lot of people throughout the city, in various disciplines, miss him as well.
That's right. It was a revelation that day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To be in that Unitarian church and hear about his life and how he was involved in all these different things, abstract, curious, eccentric, meaningful, beautiful things, and a man who was filled to the brim with random acts of kindness which he offered to all of us on a regular basis.
Indeed, yeah. Christopher, it's been such a pleasure talking again. Thanks for this, and all good wishes on the 25th anniversary. Break a leg, as I say.
Thank thank you, Joseph. I do appreciate, on behalf of all of us at Bard and the arts, that you take great interest in what we do. You promote it, and frankly, we couldn't do it without you. So we're very grateful. I hope you have a lovely summer, and I hope you enjoy yourself when you come to Bard. So thanks so much.
The website from our bardonthebeach.org, Christopher Gaze, its artistic director, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.